doing to help these poor bureaucrats who just can't seem to find anything else to do than to fuck with poor people. That should be considered a form of sexual abuse, but why get into that at the moment? Here we go. Again, seminars will be held on the following topics, again, from homeless volunteers from their cardboard boxes downtown. False premises, a good way to stop demonstrations on the eve of your 10th anniversary celebration, but risky in the long run. Running a fancy bed and board home while you destroy a free meal shelter area and blacktop over a campground for the community house trailer project, a contradiction in terms? Special advice to concerned council members. Don't close down the only legal place to be outdoors in Santa Cruz unless you're volunteering your home. Rain, a good reason to turn people out of winterized tents onto the downtown streets. Wiser Christmas choices, the gift of $150 each for each camping and sleeping ticket, $162 plus, an unsuitable gift for Santa Cruz from the City Council and the Citizens Committee for the Homeless. Counting tents, armory spaces, and human beings. How to avoid lying about shelter space and human need. They do need some help on that one. Why locking up the media to prevent campers from telling the truth about the need for the campground and the phoniness of the health hazard crisis is a tactic that may backfire. Keeping full-service restrooms closed at night while next-door porta-potties are stinking and overflowing and apparently now non-existent. Mistake or error? Keeping full-service... Oops, I went through that one before. Get off the restrooms. Advanced PR, how to turn three unrepaired, mismanaged porta-potties for 200 people into a good excuse to close a campground. False advertising and fundraising. Would a real Citizens Committee for the Homeless evict homeless people in freezing rain to pave the way for a $1.3 million, 48-person, $600 a month trailer project? Opening up new shelters, City Hall, the County Board of Soups, in front of shops downtown, in parking garages, in the backyards of City Council members, and on the spacious property of the CCH Poverty Pimps, the wave of the future? Call City Council, 429-3550, or Citizens Committee for the Homeless, 458-1958, or 427-2367, to protest. Listen to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM for news. And by the way, we'll try to get the news out real quickly here on the radio, and we're going to post something here before we leave for each successive host to announce about this crisis that's coming up with the police coming in to hassle the campers. Hassle isn't the word. Evict and the campers and destroy the campground on Sunday or Monday. Call the resistance hotline, 438-8630, to help. Support Camp Quest Santa Cruz demonstrations and give Huff a call if you want to join Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom to plan protests, 423-HUFF, 4833. Well, this is all pretty wet and gloomy, you know, but I think for a change of pace, I'm going to play you a little interview I had with one of our local craftspeople, a fellow named Lowell, who talks about another town he's been in where they treat craftspeople a little bit differently.
On Friday the 13th, actually, it was like not an unlucky day. I'm with that famous lapidary expert, Lowell. What's happening with you these days?
This is for Free Radio Santa Cruz, in case you wonder. I do a show twice a week.
You do?
Uh-huh.
Is that at UCSC?
No, it's local underground micro-broadcasting radio. It's on homeless rights, civil rights for the poor, things like that. The old topics, you know, that I've always been interested in.
Yeah.
Any sign that people it's more of a live and let live attitude? Have you noticed in the last year, or is it less so? What's your sense of it?
I think it's kind of going the other direction in general, but since not too bad down here right now, but I think there's going to be a lot of poor people soon, poorer people.
Is that based on your sense of national politics or some other phenomenon?
Yeah, national politics.
Well, when I talked to you about a year and a half ago, you were working on jewelry. Is that when you made your line of business? Or?
Yeah, I teach jewelry classes and make jewelry.
I've noticed
I travel.
I know that no guns. So you know no guns.
Yeah, I saw no guns. I saw an interesting exchange at the farm farmer's market with no guns and...
A couple cops?
Yeah, a couple of cops. And
I heard about that. What did you...
Yeah, they told her that, and I think this is important for all the craftspeople, that you are in compliance if you put a sign that says donations, and you're welcome to refuse a donation if it isn't what you like. And I think it's very important that we keep on this because it creates jobs for people, and that's at least a start. I think that we really need some leadership to have a market here with the farmers market, and I don't know, I'm not here enough, but I think that if it doesn't happen soon, that we should just sue the city of Santa Cruz as individuals and elected officials for being out of line with the federal government's attempt to put people off welfare and to create jobs for people.
Along with Mr. Twister, perhaps.
Because it isn't fair to ticket people who are doing honest work and who have their own jobs at the same time that you're complaining about people not working and trying to get people off of welfare. That's hypocritical and ironic.
You were saying a year or two ago when I spoke to you that they had a much more positive plan up in Oregon where you came from.
The Oregon Supreme Court on October 29th
of last year?
Last year ruled in a special session of the Supreme Court that moved to Lincoln High School in Portland that the act of selling is protected freedom of expression, and that's a very good decision because it creates a job for all these people who have their own jobs. If the cops in the city would just quit stealing their jobs and stealing their money, they might not have to pay.
Do you recall the name of that case?
That's Frog versus the city of Eugene and the state of Oregon.
And what impact did that case have on Eugene? What was the case situation before? What was the situation after that case was decided?
Well, it was very important because it went back and forth in the courts, and a new organization was formed called Eugene in Common with the Downtown Association, the city of Eugene, and the Saturday Market all coming together and deprivatizing the mall so that people now in Eugene can set up a table and work and make their own crafts, all handmade crafts, any day, every day, for $1 or $2 for a big table.
And how long has this been the practice up there?
This has been going on now for 2 years.
And before that, what was the rule?
Before that, we only had the Saturday market on Saturday. And the Saturday market moved its offices into the downtown mall, and the Saturday market staff now goes into the mall, not just in the two park blocks where they used to be. So basically, Eugene is a free country.
How big a
Santa Cruz is not.
How big a city is Eugene? Compared to Santa Cruz?
It's about like Santa Cruz. It's
25,000 people?
The Santa Cruz Mall, the Eugene Mall, and the Boulder, Colorado Mall were all built by the same people. They're somewhat similar, but the policies are not. Eugene is the most free of all. Other places, they still ticket people for working.
Now, does Eugene have some sort of... can any street performer set up his guitar and start playing, or is there some sort of, talent license or something? I'm not sure if that's true.
No, people can play have always been able to play music, and that was true in the mall even before they started allowing people to sell crafts. But the Saturday market also has a very good and free music program along with the food court every week. So any musicians who want to go there can contact the Saturday market, and they'll probably get to perform.
How much time have you spent in Eugene in the last year?
I spend about 6 months here, 6 months there for the last 5 years.
So when was your last
up there last week.
So what about, I'll ask you about some trivial things, but things that perhaps are not so trivial to people on the streets. What about restroom facilities? Are there 24-hour restroom facilities available up there for people who need to use a bathroom?
The Saturday market has porta-potties that are always very clean. They set them up along with the rest of the whole setup on Saturday morning, and they maintain the...
What about the rest of the week?
I'm not sure that they have porta potties the rest of the week, but there are lots of restaurants and things around the mall. I've never really had any problem there.
You know, there is a proposal that has been mentioned to me by Bob LaMonica, who is behind the Recall DAR Danner campaign, which fell short recently, but did get 10,000 signatures.
I saw that in the paper.
He's suggesting that bicyclists are talking about closing the mall to all the pedestrian and bicycle traffic, and then maybe instituting some reforms that might make the mall live up to its original purpose.
Well, the exhaust down here does stink, and the mall isn't very long. I don't see why it couldn't be a walking mall. It's in Eugene and Boulder, there's one or two streets that cut through, but there's not this length of traffic going back and forth and all around. And I personally wouldn't mind parking. There's enough parking off street within a block all up and down the mall, but I think that might be an excellent idea. It would certainly improve the air quality.
What are the laws like in Eugene for, let's say, sleeping outdoors? Are people ticketed for camping regularly the way they are here in Santa Cruz? I know Santa Cruz is notorious sleeping den.
Well, for people with vehicles, the national forests up there are all free for camping 14 days out of any 30-day period, and there are a lot more places available for people to do that, and also the buses up there are 80 cents.
Are those the state parks or the national?
The national parks.
And is that 14 days out of 30 days every month, or is there
every month? Yeah.
Oh, really? So, you know, California is much more restrictive in its campgrounds in the national, or at least the state parks.
Well, yeah, there really isn't the same situation around here. I'm not aware of any national parks that close by. And the city of Eugene does have an anti-camping policy, but I've never seen the cops there bother anybody in vehicles except in the parks. Maybe if they're a bunch of drunks and somebody's gotten stabbed or something, they'll come through and deal with the problems on a case-by-case basis. But there's also, I've seen a lot of flyers up there, which I think is a good idea in Santa Cruz too. I think that, that say, if you've ever gotten a ticket for camping, please call this number because your civil rights may have been violated, and we'd like to have a class action suit to stop this kind of
I'd like to see that violation. I'd like to see that. I mean, we've been trying.
It is a violation under the color of law, regardless of whether the
whatever the law is.
It's a violation of the Constitution, and that is the law. And that law is on the side of the people, incidentally, because of the 1964 Civil Rights Act that's recently been upheld, and I think the cities are they're liable as...
What part of the 1964 Civil Rights Act are you referring to?
Well, individuals and elected officials are liable for any civil rights violations under the color of law, both as individuals and elected officials. And I think the city and the city attorney and all of the council should take a very careful look at this, because the law definitely is on the side of the people.
Actually, there are laws as far back as the Civil War which supposedly uphold the rights of individuals to redress if they are violated by officials under the color of law, Reconstruction Act.
There's also a state law that requires you to stop and rest if you're in a van, if you're tired, for 4 hours. And there are a lot of good reasons that not to bother people, and the cities, unfortunately, and the states haven't learned
Have you spent any time in Ashland?
I love Ashland, yeah.
Now, I understand there's been something of a crackdown in Ashland over the summer. Have you been there at all?
No, I haven't. Ashland is kind of small, but Lithia Park is a very beautiful place. They have a community center there and some nice meals. And there's a number you can call if you need food in Ashland, and they'll call you back within 15 minutes and deliver the food box to you wherever you are. I think that's good. I don't know about sleeping in the park.
Well, I noticed we have a circle of criminal activity forming near where we're standing outside the Pacific Cookie Company. These three individuals are sitting within 10 feet of a shop, a violation of the Santa Cruz downtown ordinance.
They're eating cookies.
And they're also eating cookies.
I
think we better call the host.
Those cookie monsters.
The green shirts who enforce the law.
Well, let's leave that dramatic confrontation. That was an interview with Lowell, who's a craftsman and artist, and talking about Eugene and other cities in Oregon, how their laws differ from ours, and how we might benefit from paying some attention to what they do up there. Returning to the crisis, however, the shelter crisis in Santa Cruz, the crisis created by the Citizens Committee for the Homeless and City Council by its decision to disrupt, dislodge, and evict campers from the open-air shelter on Coral Street. Again, the campground is still running. It's still there, even though the mucky mucks in power have declared it's closed. They haven't yet put guards at the gate. They are hauling away the porta potties, trying to stink out the people who are there, and I guess another attempt to protect their health. But what we have here for your amusement, or I should say for your education, is about 5 minutes after Paul Marceau, head of the Interfaith Satellite Shelter Program in the Open Air Shelter, the boss down there, and his political henchman, or I should say his political associate, Squawk Box Scott Kennedy, who is indeed preparing to send in the police if necessary to back up Paul Marceau. Here you get to hear how campers were reacting to this situation. This was on December 12th.
On December 12th, 1995, we're at the open-air shelter Bay. Councilmember Kennedy has just announced that since October 31st, everybody in the campground has been illegal, and people are to be removed from here because it's an illegal situation. Although they haven't given any specifics as to when that will be removed.
This is Mike. At the meetings at the Duck Pond, they said that Scott Kennedy and the Mayor Byers both said that the decision whether to keep it open or not is not up to the city, it's up to CCH. And the city had not said that it would be closed. And when we negotiated the keeping it open with Daryl Darling and Paul Marceau, they agreed that weather conditions would be negotiated with representatives of the campground.
This is not negotiation.
And now they're saying totally the opposite, that CCH has no authority and the city is closing it down.
Thank you, Michael.
You see what the guy just said. He's city council, right? He said it's legal to go and camp in the woods. That shows you how much he knows.
Right. I heard him say it. Conversation continues.
The only thing is that you don't be number 151.
Of not being on there's a man with a dog who has no place to be. No legal place to be.
He just said it's legal to go and camp out in the woods. That shows you how much he knows.
Right. Try it sometime, Scott. See what happens to you. You try camping in the woods.
I mean, if I can go in the morning and give him the ticket and he paid, I don't care.
What is he? Put $24 notice.
Is that about $61?
$24 notice.
$24
You guys are so scared about the money. You
and after that, you get to be illegal for 24
place.
Days and then 24 weeks.
You got to pay for the gas. You got to pay for the automobiles.
Someone was told yesterday that they could not go to one of the programs in the church because they know Robert North and they handed out his flyers. They said, we don't want you in this church program.
What's his name? I'll give you his name when he gives me permission to give you his name. I have his name. I can introduce you.
I heard it from my own ears out of the guy's mouth. And it's one of your head people, too, that told him that.
I can't do anything until I have a name.
You know, he's right. Base Rock and a big circus tent would handle all this dampness out here. And they'd still have donation money left over.
What's your name?
Renee Signorino.
Hey, Renee.
And they could still buy the new car.
That's not compared to expensive. It's going to cost you.
Why did the
you guys going to be paying a lot more money.
Why did they do that? Just to pass it and no response? There's a crisis. There's got to be money from somewhere.
Okay.
Or materials from somewhere. Did we just pass that to pass it and then let it sit there?
What should be
emergency money.
Then what is the crisis if we have indoor shelter that is available?
People can't use it. There are people here who will never go in a house. And they have a place. They're taking care of themselves. They're dry and they're safe and we've got a pump.
We've known from the beginning that this was temporary. That
I haven't
we made...
It's all about money.
Why have it here?
And it's going to be cheaper to keep us here than tell us where.
Where? Tell us where
it's the only place we have, Paul. You know that.
Well, I'm sorry.
I think that people who really care about the homeless should be advocating to have that damn thing closed down.
It's in they don't want it. Well, ask the homeless if...
And we interrupt this tape of the December 12th hubbub after Paul Marceau and Scott Kennedy announced the closing of the open-air shelter. The man you hear arguing in favor of closing down the shelter is, of course, Paul Marceau, the man who's paid to close it down by the Citizens Committee for the Homeless. The woman in the background, or actually the woman talking to him, is that Barbara River woman, who I call Brimstone Barbara. She's actually very mild-mannered. She's a Quaker. She's... been fighting to, actually she convened four different meetings involving city council members, HUF activists, activists from the campground, which became the SOS, Save Our Shelter group, and people from Community House, Daryl Darling, and of course Paul Marceau, whose voice you're hearing, to try to work this out. And she thought that she had worked it out because Paul Marceau, the man whose voice you hear there, had agreed to keep the campground open until January 1st and then to give a 10-day notice or later, and depending on when the Community House project got its permits. Marceau broke his word. And now, of course, in order to avoid the embarrassment of that, he's saying the city is closing it down. So these boys are playing hide the salami on the campers. And I'm afraid it's not a very comfortable situation for anybody. Let's listen in a little further.
They close down. Ask the homeless if they want it shut down, Paul, and they say no. Don't tell them what they need. Ask them what they need.
And I've heard them.
And they said they want. There are 25 people out there who want to stay. Those are 25 human beings who are dry, and they've got a tenable situation, and there's no place else for them to go.
We'll provide a shelter 40 then. So it's 15 more than...
There's insufficient place for people. You know that, Paul. What are you talking about? There's 150 spaces. There's 250 people on mob out there.
We've never had 150 people at the Armory.
So what?
In previous years. I mean,
they weren't forced to go there.
People make other options. Some go and find camping places up the levee or in Poconet.
Illegally camping places.
Well, we have choices. Some people live in apartments and some people live in houses. Why can't the homeless have choices? There are some people who are outdoors people and they don't have any land. They've been dispossessed from their land. They deserve land too.
And you want to know what those rangers do?
If they
come by and they find your camping site out there, those rangers are taking and rip it all down and you won't have nothing left up there.
Because
I know people that's happened to.
He's a homeless bureaucrat is what he is.
That's what we want to use the property.
But there are already people here. Why choose other people who are
homeless?
Those 40 people there, where are they? They don't need it now. 25, 50 people need it now. Why do you say we want to do it for 40 people? We don't know who they are. Where are they? They're housed. They're not out here in the rain.
Not for the house, just for the homeless.
Well, where are they?
If we don't provide transitional shelter programs for people,
emergency shelter is just going to expand with no place to go. It's going to be a dead-end street because people don't have a way to get out of it.
You don't actually believe
this. But those people are in vans now.
If I didn't believe it, I wouldn't be.
This morning, Paul, they're in vans and they're doubled up. They're homeless, too, I agree. But this is an emergency situation. There are 25 tents out there with more than 25 people who don't have a place to go. Why can't we provide for them?
He's just a rich guy and he don't care about us at all, you know?
They choose not to go.
I mean, why should they? They've got money. We don't. You know, they've got money. They've got, they can do whatever.
We last night and we have 25 guys on the field.
Our own refuge.
They're asking them to give up their families. They're asking them to give up their families to go into the Army.
People who live into apartments have to make choices about dogs.
Apartments? How are we supposed to afford $600-$700 a month?
You know, I don't like it.
I know.
I'd rather have a dog, but I can't have one in my apartment.
Yeah, but you don't live outside
in the country.
You don't live outside.
But I bet you have a cat. I bet you have a cat or two.
But you're on the street. As a woman, I know that if I were on the street, the first thing I would do is get a dog. I am a woman, and I know what it means to be out here.
I'm a woman. I'm single. I'm a bitch. I don't have a dog or anything. I don't even have a knife to protect myself. I don't have anything at all.
Except she has a community down here. At least she's safe down here.
She
if she's out in the woods, she's going to be in a lot of danger.
It's like a big family here. It's like a big family. We take care of each other out here. You know? And that, now you want to separate us all from that?
That's what he does.
This is providing community. It's provided safety to overcome the kind of isolation and fear that Scott is suggesting people do if they go off to Los Padres by themselves. They don't have food out there. They don't have shelter. They don't have...
Under the bridges, don't feel safe. They're not safe.
But as I said, we cannot, one, because of the size of the homeless population, provide the specific either desires or needs of every subgroup within that population.
We don't need you to provide them. We just need a place to stay.
That's right.
Yeah. Like, yeah. You try to be homeless. Camping for you is like a luxury experience. Camping for me the last 5 years has been survival. And I'm still here. I know how to survive out in the woods, but they come and they burn my friends' camps.
Yeah,
they beat us up. They give us tickets. They tell us we can't sleep. And then this kid comes along. There's finally a place that's safe, and then you want to take that away too. That's not right.
I can't sleep with other people.
I will kill them. I'm too antisocial. I have to have my own place so that I can be at peace. People will make me so angry that I will become psychotic. That's why I stay away from them. I stay in my tent where it's safe. I can listen to my music. I can tune out. I can take my medication. The armory, I was having psychotic episodes, so I left so that I wouldn't kill anybody and wind up in a nut house.
We don't force anybody to go to the armory.
I can't handle it. I'm taking medication for this reason. I'm on SSI. I need my place, and that is my tent. Until I get my place off the street, I need my tent, and I need it to be safe.
Have you guys been looking for another place for us?
All we're saying is you can't stay on that piece of property.
They gave me a ticket in De La Viega.
Yeah,
I can't stay there.
Have you guys been looking for another open air shelter? You guys haven't been doing too good of a job, have you?
Nope.
There's lots of places out here.
Yeah,
we're all over the place. Places up there.
Interested.
Bob's Camp. What about Bob's Camp? You guys could rent those out.
$20 a night.
We could all pitch in that, I'm sure. If you guys, we all make money.
For what? So you're confronting campers with the need to do something in terms of to resist this. If that's their only place to stay, their only family, their pets, the only option they have is to resist this. Indeed, but you are forcing them to make that choice if they want to keep their family and community together.
You know, what else do they have but to break the law?
So if they're going to break the law individually and get picked off individually, why not get together as a community and a group to resist this incredible hypocrisy on the city council?
People are so full of shit.
A council member who claims to be a progressive who has no solution whatsoever, and the only answer is to send in the police.
You don't even know it's illegal to camp in De La Viga. You're trying to tell us, oh, go in the woods, they won't fuck with us. Yeah, I witnessed a burning of a camp by off-duty rangers last year, and that was pretty fucked up.
Off-duty rangers?
I don't have any proof
of that,
because the people
I know it was there, because somebody seen a
people who were able to see it have left.
And they were afraid to come
bags.
They did
everything. People that I was hiding in the bushes from while they were beating up our friend and burning everything he owned said that they each got a ticket from one guy, one specific guy, the same guy. He said that earlier that month that he'd given them tickets. So it leads to me to believe that the rest of his friends are probably off duty.
They're always clean.
I was told when I went on the street in 1990 that I couldn't vote by a cop.
That's not safe.
I asked for the voting office, and this SCPD tells me, you can't vote, you're a homeless scum. His exact words, direct quote. In 1989, I got mugged in the parking lot near the Elm Street place in view of the Metro while a SCPD was trying to drink a 40 really quickly that he stole from a little skinhead punk on New Year's morning, the first. This damn system is all corrupt.
So we have a city council meeting tonight, folks.
What I suggest to you is that you've
got... on the payroll that this glorified security guard's...
What I suggest to you is that you've got 75 or 100 people here with their tents down on the ground, all their goods are soaking wet, and they need to be taken care of. They need to go to the army, they need to be brought in out of the cold and the rain and the dry, and their health needs taken care of. And that's going to take you a few days to do that and deal with those emergency human needs. In the meantime, those of us that are secure fairly well, leave us alone and deal with that, and we see what the situation is. Do not allow those people whose tents are flattened and their goods are destroyed and incapable of...